It's me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Yeah, the whole way long. Say ow. Y'all, what's popping, man? What's happening, internet podcast Ville? This is, you're listening to the Nestorious Public Radio Show. And I'm your host, the N, the P, the R, the Nestorious. You stay tuned and you will go far. Y'all, so tonight we have a pretty interesting show. I want to bring my man, well, first of all, I want to say what's up to all you smodcasters out there. This one's for you. I want to bring my man, Jam Master James, who was the host, and I was his co-host or one of his co-hosts on The Breaks on Kevin Smith's Smodcast internet radio station. And he's left Los Angeles for, I don't know how many years. It seems like a week, but that shit is years. And so I figured, you know, we have a little mini reunion. So James is calling in. I think he should be on the line on standby. You there, James?
I am here.
Yo, what's popping, man?
What is cracking? Yo, the levels be good.
The levels be good. Yeah, I haven't.
Yo, the levels are not good. I don't know what's happening over here.
So we're supposed to start the show at 8, and in true fucking Latino form, this motherfucker, he's plugging in cables and shit at like not at like 8:10, and in the
last
video,
minute, yeah. It's always last minute.
And in the video, we've been doing this Skype. Good.
It looked like I was using a ViewSonic.
Well, no, we've been doing a Skype calls here. By the way, we're at a new radio station. We Play Radio, so it's this new thing that, you know, we went from Skid Row Studios to We Play Radio, and so we've been doing Skype calls, and they've been coming in. It's pretty cool. I mean, unfortunately, the person who's on the other end can't see me, but the viewer is able to see me and see you, you know, the caller. So it's fun. So I'm looking at you in the video feed, and you look like Matt Damon with a secret squirrel hat in The Martian. You were caught up in this fucking, like, a cubicle. Where the fuck were you? The laundry room / fucking.
Yeah.
Is that where you were?
Nuts, man. It's nuts. No, I'm actually in my living room, but, you know, / studio. But it's not as I guess spacious as the last setup I had at the apartment out there in North Hollywood.
Right.
So it's been a pain in my ass trying to get the tech end worked out, because, you know, like we're saying, it's more than likely has a lot to do with my internet speed. I've been fighting with these companies, you know. I won't say the names because I don't want to get fucking.
You don't want to get your internet cut off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, guys, they promise you one thing, and well, you know how it goes. I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, you're lucky if you get half of what they get.
I'm sorry to tell you, man, but by the frequency that I was watching on the video, you might as well, like, wrap some copper cable around a squirrel's ass and let him run around the house, and you'd get better internet signal.
That's actually the internet service I'm with.
Yeah, you got the round wound squirrel cage rotor motor fucking internet service. It's ridiculous. So, for those of you that don't know, Jam Master James, a.k.a. James Franco, was the engineer at the John Lovitz podcast theater, the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Yeah. And James and I met. I'm not even going to try to say when, because, dude, time flies so fast. And, you know, it's been a while, you know. And so I think that was around the time when I was doing the John Lovitz KTLA Find Me a Comic competition.
That was like a
three-part, three-round comedy, stand-up comedy competition. And so you, I guess, you know, you were there. I don't think I had ever been to the John Lovitz Comedy Club before that, other than, you know, I knew what it was. But anyway, I wound up winning that whole thing. And then, you know, I started performing at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. And then you and I became tight.
Yes.
Because even though you're Mexican, you look Puerto Rican. That's part of the thing, right? Because you're a different breed. Where are you from? Well, first of all, so James, Jam Master James, James Franco, he's from California, right? You were born up in the Fresno, Sacramento area?
Sacramento, yes, sir.
Sacramento.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So
where I am currently living out my, what do you call that, before hell? What is the level before hell? That's where I'm at.
The level before hell. I got it. I think you said hill. I was going to say, well, that would be Spring Street.
that's for Angelinos. Only Angelinos are going to get that joke.
Right. The level before hell is purgatory. And that voice right there that you heard, that's my man Jeremy Hansen, the grand wizard of We Play Radio and the in-house engineer for all the shows here. Yeah.
Well, at least he knows what he's doing. I don't got a fucking clue over here.
Oh, this motherfucker, dude, this motherfucker is no joke, for real. If you, first of all, when are you coming back to L.A.?
You know what? Marilyn and I, my lovely, beautiful wife, Marilyn, and I were talking about coming down there to possibly, well, we're definitely going to come down to visit pretty soon, but we're considering coming back down for another run at it. I just had a feeling that we were close to sliding into the ocean. I had to get away for a minute and make sure that didn't happen while I was there.
Right. but I mean, and so, okay, so I'm going to go all over the place. It's kind of hard. And Jeremy's posting up pictures of you while we're talking, so at least people know who you are. Right now we got Big Dick in the Foreskins, your shirt. You're in front of some sort of red carpet type thing. But so what happened, we got tight, but you were the morning engineer for Kevin Smith's Smodcast for one or two of his shows, right?
Yes, actually for quite a few. I was engineering, recording, and co-hosting a few. Those mornings. Jay and Silent Bob did jobs. There was like seven or eight different shows I was working during the course of a week.
Right.
It was nuts, but that's what I really miss about LA. And I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more about what's going on in LA versus Sacramento, but I just, it's not here. There's no industry here.
Right.
People look at you crazy when you're like,
there's industry there, but it's like, you know, it has nothing to do with TV and film. It's like fucking, you know, crack almonds. Rocks, almonds and crack rocks.
Almonds, meth, and sheep fucking.
Almonds, that's a big thing up there?
Oh, yeah.
So basically, your motherfuckers are wasting water.
Yeah, well, no, what you do is you take the almonds, you stuff them in your nostrils, and then you fuck the sheep.
Oh, okay, got it. That's so. I hear you. So only one of you is making noises. So all right. So you had a following of sorts with Kevin Smith's audience, and they offered you a show, The Breaks.
Well, yeah. What had happened was
What happened?
Let me tell you what happened. It was during the morning show when he would, you know, he'd have his Kevin would have the shows in his home, you know, in the Hollywood Hills. We'd go up there, he had a studio in there.
Okay.
And I was engineering, and I come from old school radio sensibilities where the engineer is never to be seen or heard.
Right.
Just, you know, the show needs to sound good and whatnot. So you know, I would be setting up, literally I was setting up jokes. You know, I'd hear him, he'd go on a tangent, and I'd set up a joke and scribble it down on a 3x5 and, you know, a punchline or whatever, slide it over to him, and he'd deliver it, and it'd work, and it was great, you know. Finally, he heard me scribble, because I had a pencil one day, and I'm scratching, you know, scribbling out on this paper, and he's like, what is that noise? Is there a mouse in here? Is there a rat in here? What is that? And then I realized, oh, shit. In my head, I'm thinking, oh, shit, here's my pencil. Because the last guy that fucked up got fired on the air.
Oh, shit. You're fired!
Yeah. Like, literally, he told him, get the fuck out of my house.
That's funny. So
I thought I was going to get that.
So you were scribbling, and what? He noticed that it was you scribbling, and then he said, oh, shit, you're the one that's been fucking handing me these notes.
Well, he knew. We were right next to each other, so he knew it was me. But he said, "Look, he's like, you have a mic there for a reason. I know I haven't said it to you, but you're a part of this show. So if you think of something, or if you hear something, you have something to add, please feel free to jump in because you're a part of the show." Uh-huh. So you know, I started throwing my little corny one-liners, you know, puns and shit in there, and pretty soon he had to stop the show again, and he thought, listen, my Twitter feed is overrun with requests of when are you going to get your own show?
Right, right.
So he said, right here on the air, I'm telling you right now, I think it was a Friday night. And he says, go home this weekend, think about what you might want to do as a show, and come back, and you got a show on the network.
Right, right.
Which, amazing, because everybody else, I don't want to really put this out there too much. I mean, now we're on the air, so it doesn't matter. But everyone else was paying to be on the network, but except for me, because I think it was a sweat equity, my favorite term from Hollywood.
Wait, you're saying everyone else was what on the network?
Yeah, no. They were all paying to be on the network.
Got it.
I was the only one that was not being asked. Well, they mentioned it to me, and I said, well, you know, that's going to cut into my time on all the other shows. And
Right.
So they dropped me. They didn't charge me.
Because you were getting paid something to engineer the other shows, but it wasn't like fucking, you weren't going to retire.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So
I was providing a consistent and, reliable engineer, it's for all their mobile locations, for their, the studio locations. I was going everywhere.
Right.
For these shows. I went to Jay Moore's house to do more. What was his show called? I don't remember.
And he lives up here in Studio City, because I've seen him at the Starbucks over here on Ventura, just west of Laurel Canyon.
Yeah. I just posted. I just posted his direct address on Facebook now.
His direct address, cool. There you go.
But you know, it was crazy. So, make a long story short. I know you guys only have what, 1 hour, 2 hours, and I talk a lot.
No, it's all right. We got as much. You're my guest. We have as much time as. As you want. We got 55 minutes, but you know, this is about you, man. Kick it.
So I thought about it that weekend, myself and Marilyn. We took a drive that weekend up here, up north. And as we were driving back and forth, we kind of put the show together. You know, we formulated what we were going to do. And the first thing I wanted to do was pay back respect. Or pay it forward, I should say now. The fact that I was given a break on the air like that, which is unheard of when it comes to, broadcast, any kind of broadcast.
Well, especially, I mean, Kevin Smith has a fucking retarded following, and his Smodcast internet radio station's got like a ridiculous amount, not just ridiculous amount of shows, but a lot of, he's got a wide, listenership.
Yes. It was like, basically, it was like getting the, finding the golden ticket in my porn DVD I had just bought.
Right.
It was a twofer.
Yeah.
So I figured I have to pay it forward. If I was, if I was blessed and afforded with this opportunity, let me pay it forward. The show's going to be called The Breaks, because what's everybody in Hollywood looking for? Fucking break.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I figured I'll call it The Breaks. It's also a play on words, because I'm a DJ, you know, old school hip hop DJ.
Right, right. Curtis Blow. Oh.
Yep.
You got a little mod to Curtis Blow. And these are The Breaks.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then I just figured if I was given that opportunity, let me pass that along. Let me pay that forward and focus on unsigned or undiscovered talent. Even if they are discovered, minor players, but not, which, you know, I don't like that cast system as far as, he's a minor, he's a bit player, he's this, he's that. If you're working, you're working.
Right.
You know, God bless you.
Right. Well, I remember where I was at exactly when you called me. It was Halloween. It was like October 31st. It was around that time, either October 30th or maybe October 28th. It was like a few days before Halloween. I just remember that. And I remember I was driving, ironically enough, I had never been to your house, but I was driving on Riverside, and you know where Riverside, if you go straight, it turns into Camarillo, or it can, you know, like from, like if you're driving from Laurel Canyon, if you're driving east on Riverside and you go right under that 170 freeway overpass or the 101 overpass, whatever the fuck you call it there. And if you go straight, it's Camarillo, and that would be straight where you fucking live. And I wasn't that far from there, believe it or not. So I had pulled over when you called to have the conversation, and you were like, "Hey man, I'm doing this podcast, and you know, on Kevin Smith's Smodcast station, and you know, I was wondering if you'd be available to you know be on the show, yada yada." And I was like, "Fuck yeah." And you know, that was something that I looked forward to every week, dude. It was like therapy, man. You know?
It was, yeah. Let me tell you guys something. You guys have the refined, well, I'm sure he goes on his tangents there at NPR, but I'm going to tell you what. You were a little rough around the edges when we got you. Everyone was like, "Who is this fucking loudmouth?"
Yeah.
Puerto Rican dude you got.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no others than him. I couldn't find another Puerto Rican that was perfect for the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is that a lot of the people who I met through The Breaks, a lot of those people are my fan base on Nestorius Public Radio. You know how it works. People like the show, and then they follow you, and it's fun. You know my show is completely different than your show. Our show, if you want to call it, but you know, The Breaks was. I remember used to go through the trouble of kind of like putting together a schedule, a chronology of things that we were gonna do, right, and talk about.
All I was doing was killing more trees faster than any fucking logging company, because I was printing out manuscripts for you guys. You guys were fucking wiping boogers on them and fucking, you know what I mean, doodling and shit. Like, okay, maybe this is not the way it goes, but I remember thinking, why am I fucking spending an hour at least before each show doing this? Because no one's following the script, you know.
Yeah.
It was a very loosely based show. It really still is. I mean, I'm talking about it like it's dead. It's not dead. It's in cryo.
It's in cryogenic suspension?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, are you playing The Breaks in the background, or is that you, Jeremy?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, okay, got it. That was Jeremy.
You guys aren't hearing the voices in my head, too, are you?
No. I was hearing a little Curtis Blow back there. I was like, where's that coming from? I thought it was coming from my head, but I swear to God. It's like, are my thoughts that loud? Anyway, so you'd come up with these, you know, bullet points, but we'd start off, and listen, when I tell you it was like therapy for me, it was like I'd come to your house and I was like, yeah, now I can just fucking breathe, right? Cause I work from home, and you know, I got a bunch of shit going on all the time. and to, you know, to go, to leave the house and interact with the weather, with, you know, whatever, traffic, with people. It's, you know, each one of those things comes with its own, you know, reaction, right?
Yeah.
And going to your house was just different. It was just like very laxed. It was almost like, how could I explain it? It was almost like you were my high school buddy and it was after school, right? And yeah. I just got out of school and it fucking sucked. And I just went to my high school buddy's house and we're just going to hang out and play video games. That's how it felt like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and we just start fucking around, you know, it was just, and it was priceless. I mean, for me, and how many episodes did we record on the breaks?
I think we ended up at around 75 or 76.
That's a lot of fucking episodes. And that content is still out there. Is that still on iTunes or on Smodcast or what?
iTunes, I believe they switched over now to SoundCloud with a lot of the episodes, all the other shows. The breaks as well.
So they don't have, they're not hosting any of the podcasts on the Smodcast network.
Well, they still have the network itself. They still have the page and you can still click the link, but it bounces you, now I think it bounces you over to the SoundCloud, upload, you know, the files on SoundCloud.
Got it. Yeah. The funny thing is that, you know, you're having a good time. And it's very mindless and fun. Like I said, you're hanging out at your best friend's fucking house after school playing video games and shit comes out of your mouth that, you know, like it usually does out of mine. And you're not really being censored or you don't care or whatever, you know, and it's fun.
Well, and at my house, I mean, it was in my house or in our apartment, you know, the end of it. But when we first started, remember, we started on the top floor at the Lovett's Club, which
right.
meant we were, you know, I'm setting up, we're recording a show, and we've got the janitor down there running the fucking floor buffer.
Oh yeah. Well, we were also in the electric closet in the air handling.
Oh
room.
Yeah, we did it in the electric closet.
We did it on the stage of the John Lovett's.
That was the most. Fun kick in the balls I've ever had.
What, doing it on the stage?
Yeah, because there we are laying it out like we're doing fucking Oprah meets Wendy Williams. we got the flying V tables on stage. 40 fucking co-hosts.
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had Eric Schwartz.
Yeah, smoothie.
It was just you, me, Eric Schwartz. It was pretty much you. The show was your show with Eric Schwartz, with Smooth E, myself, and that was it in the beginning.
That was it. It was just the trifecta.
Right. And
the reason for that, this was the formula. This is the way I was thinking, formulaically speaking.
Uh-huh.
It was two, you know, a Latino, myself, obviously, West Coast Latino.
Right.
I wanted to have a white/other, which was Eric, that could fill not only the white, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes right now, white segment, but also the Oy Vey. Hey.
Yeah.
So he would cover that sector. And then I said, well, listen, if we talk anything about hip hop, a Jew from the West Coast and a beaner from the West Coast, a Mexican from the West Coast, it's not gonna get the respect it deserves back east unless we add an East Coast sensibility, an East Coast point of view. And that was you, brother.
Well, I think also that the way you were thinking was that you were doing a hip hop, you know, show, right? So the breaks and you know, a nod to Curtis Blow and all that other stuff. And I think Smoothie was, you know, a DJ, and he was into, part of his act is, does he rap in part of his act or something like that?
Yes, Yes, very, very musically.
Yeah, so he's a musically influenced and he's kind of like a prop comic, a vocal prop comic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had that. You were a DJ, and you know, I grew up in New York City in the 80s with, you know, the evolution of hip hop. I think that was the original and the origin of it. And then what happened was you'd have like the janitor would come in as one of the guests. Next thing you know, next week he's a co-host. Then you'd have a stripper, and you know, she'd come in. Next thing you know, now we got a fucking female co-host. Then, you know, you had another Jewish guy, all of a sudden we got another fucking co-host. Before you knew it, we had about five co-hosts, and then King Sun would come in, and then dude, that was some fun crazy shit. You'd have interns come in, then they disappear, and anyway, it was
the thinking behind that was, I knew that you comics specifically that, you know, you guys are road warriors. You know, you guys go on the road. So, you know, there were going to be times where you guys are going to be out of town. You know, you're a comedian and an actor. So, you know, there was going to be times I figured where you would be, you know, back east shooting something, you know, or Eric or whatever. So that way I was trying to keep it as a rotation. But then when everybody was in town and nobody was fucking out on the road, now we got 40 fucking calls showing up.
Right. But I mean, throughout the whole tenure of the show, I was the most consistent on that show. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, East, Smooth E, you know, when he realized, and I love Smooth E, but when he realized that the show wasn't going to be 100% about him, he was out, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, everybody else, like, we had Joanne Scorsia on the show, who's a sweetheart.
Kitty Cat,
yeah. Yeah, Kitty Cat Scorsia. She's an actress, stand-up comedian, and she's an overall sweetheart. But you know, we had her on the show, and then all of a sudden, all the guys are drooling on her fucking, you know, chest, and they're like, "Hey, James, we should have her on. We should have her as one of our guests, as one of our co-hosts." And that was it. Yeah. You know, that was Smooth E. That was Smooth E. I know that.
Oh yeah, that was all Smooth E. I remember exactly.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, it wasn't so much let me just go ahead and have a, you know, a pair of fake tits on the show. The reason for that was we had the Latino angle covered, we had the West Coast covered, East Coast covered, you know, the boy Vegas. So we needed a female. We needed the vaginal support.
Yeah, the vaginal support. She was, you know what? She was a trooper. She was fun. You know, she's a trip. You know, Joanne's a trip. She's got a good heart. She's a sweetheart. You know,
I love her to death.
Yeah.
I know she got a little touchy when we started talking about plastic surgery.
That's hilarious. Because here's the deal. We were having an episode where we were talking about enhancements and how in Hollywood everyone, I could understand like women and men when they get a certain age, right? Like when you're 60, I actually can't understand me. I cannot understand it, but I get it, right? I get why people do it, right? But Jesus fucking Christ, wait until you're fucking 58 and something sagging before you start fucking around with that shit, right?
I mean,
right?
I'm gonna get ball lift like soon.
No, but you know that was the crux of what we were talking about on that episode, and it was just like, fuck, man, I can't believe how young these women are nowadays, and they're putting they're fucking stretching out their faces, you know, putting basketballs inside their chest and all this other bullshit. And I remember that day, Joanne was to my left, and her face, it was... Her face was like, she thought, it was like as if I was talking to her, and seriously, it was, the face was like this, okay? It was like this. It was as if, you know, I'm going to describe this viscerally so that just in case, I'm not going to cheat on the video, although I'll do it. But the face was basically that of a woman watching a man eating another woman's pussy on the bus, and everyone's like making believe like they're reading the paper, and it doesn't bother them. And that woman is going, "What the fuck? What, I don't know. I don't understand why these people. I don't understand how this could be happening, and no one's mentioning anything about it." So it was that look that she had on her face. It was like, you know, like, oh my God. And I wasn't like, in the middle of my, my passionate fucking, diatribe on the whole thing, I wasn't thinking, oh shit, Joanne has enhanced breasts or whatever. She might get a little offended by it.
Yeah. Right. We weren't like trying to throw a jab in.
No, not at all.
We weren't thinking like that.
No, not at all. I mean, she was one of us, but I remember that time. And by the way, she denied on the show because I went to a comedy show with Black Mike, and Black Mike, I believe he took her shoes off.
Let me correct you.
You were there. Were you there?
Yeah, I was there for that show.
Whoa. You were there when Black Mike took her shoes off and was trying to suck on her toes?
Yes, man, because me and you both saw it. I tried that shit to the end.
You were there, right? I can't remember.
I was like, yo, Joanne Scorsia is definitely comes from, cut from the mob fucking jib.
This motherfucker.
Was brave with that shit.
This motherfucker. No, again, I think it was one of those things that she was like, she was flabbergasted and she could not believe that this was actually happening. So she probably erased it from not just her consciousness, but from three or four different layers of her fucking innermost self, right? And so... So you were there that night. It was at some fucking bar somewhere in Sherman Oaks, right? And she's sitting down. I think it was his birthday or her birthday. It was probably her birthday, right? It was like an open mic or something. This motherfucker, he's drunk, and he's taking her feet and putting her toes in his mouth. And she's looking. Again, she's got that same look. Like somebody's eating somebody's pussy on the bus.
Yeah.
And everyone's making believe like they don't see it. And they're just reading their paper. And she's going, I cannot believe what the fuck this guy's doing. And I was just cracking the fuck up because I just couldn't believe that this guy was doing that shit. You know?
Yeah.
But
now,
Mike.
Now look, I was sitting at the table with her. Me, Marilyn and I, my wife, we were sitting at the table with her when it started. And it was like, I got a mixed vibe of, what the fuck is this guy doing? To the left. The fucking mook to the left.
Yeah, this motherfucker. But the thing is, you see, Joanne's a very beautiful girl, right? So you know how it is with stand-up comedy. Like, these fucking guys, they want to fuck these girls, and so they have them on all their shows because they think that if and this is not to discount her talent, but they think that if they have them on the show that they're going to get some. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a sense of that they feel
they
have to owe something to him because he gave them their big break, whatever. That's
So that was crazy.
That one, but yeah.
So basically, I mean, that was a show at John Lovitz, and then of course everyone spun off. See, so here's the deal. A lot of times people, they do these podcasts and then, you know, a lot of people do shit because they expect something to happen, right? As opposed to doing something because doing it is what you're getting out of it, right? As opposed to, you know, let me back up a little bit in case I wasn't clear on that, because I kind of confused myself in saying it myself. But a lot of people, especially out here in the industry, they'll do something, and if up until, you know, they... If nothing happens, then they don't want to get, they don't want to be involved in anymore, right? So everyone out here in the entertainment business, every motherfucker is out here for themselves. That's it. They don't give a fuck until they get their sitcom or they commit suicide. They're in here for themselves, okay?
Right.
And so, you know, podcast is something that people do. Yeah, you know, it's free promotion. You're on the air, and it's intellectual. It's out there. I mean, once you record a show, it's out there. You know, the content is out there. Well, I mean, the content is out there. I mean, it's you know, if you know, something happens, you die, whatever, 50, 60 years later, this shit's recorded. It's out there. You know, you people could have access to it. And not, I'm not saying that because it's bad or good. I'm saying that because that in and of itself should be enough. You know what I mean? So right. I think a lot of a lot of the people, when they realize that they weren't getting anything out of it other than just showing up and that being what you get out of it, they stepped off. And so then it was just you and I at your crib. And then, you know, I brought in Simon Kaufman and Rich and we'd fuck around. And, you know, then we got the bad news that you were leaving. You know, we got the.
I know.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
You know what? I kind of felt like at that point, maybe we were Jordan pre-fucking Wizard.
Jordan pre-Wizard?
Yeah, we were going out on the fucking, trying to go out on a high note.
Yeah, yeah. But, hold on, my volume was on. That's when I got the news. That James was leaving. Dude, do you know how many therapy sessions I had to go through? Like when I got that news,
I got something that'll always fucking make it better for you, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh. That's the shit right there. That's the shit right there. You know, I don't think I ever got that audio file from you. You gave me you blessed me with fucking ridiculous audio files and sound plant. This is you. My sound plant is yours. You gave that shit to me. But anyway, no, I spent a decent amount on therapy because every time you get to a place in your life where, you know, you get something, like I said, you know, we're grown men. You know, yeah. And to make have a relationship like we have, and to make some sort of relate an experience like that, like I did earlier, to coming home from school to your best friend's house to play video games, that's you know, that's large, right? So when now it's time to, you know, you gotta go and that shit is over, and now you're not gonna be able to play video games at your best friend's house anymore, and you know, now you're moving. That shit is traumatic. I mean, I don't give a fuck who you are, where you are. For me, it's even more traumatic because I have a lot of unresolved shit going on. You know,
right? Well, you know that we were that was the point of the show where we became an after school special about divorce.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and God bless Marilyn. Your wife was always fucking cool. You know, she was like always there, whatever. And you know, one of the things, because again, we did it in your apartment. It was kind of like in the dining room and shit. You had tables set up. It was a nice setup. And I remember Marilyn said to me one time, she goes, you know, when you first started doing the show, I thought, what the fuck is up with this guy? This fucking guy, he's a loudmouth. I don't understand him. And then, you know, I grew to like you. That's what she said. I grew to like you. And you know what? Check that out. Check this out. That's more valid than somebody liking me right off the top. That's worth more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because you earned it. You see what I'm saying? You earned it. So that was awesome. I always remember that. Marilyn was always a sweetheart. She was there, you know, doing her thing. And when you left, it was like, you know, that was, you know, it's like a big void and shit. You're doing stuff, and then all of a sudden it stops, and you know,
you got to figure now. What do I do for, you know, 2-3 hours on? You know, on Tuesdays or whatever.
Yeah, it was Tuesdays. But I mean, during that time, I was in the process of starting my own show, and I think I was I had already started my show before you actually left. So it was actually actually a good transition for me.
Well, you know, and that was really at the very core of the breaks. That's what it was built for. So that's why there's no animosity. There's no resentment as far as. You know, the other folks leaving the show earlier than before I left. Let's just put it out there. Like Eric, when Eric left the show, he didn't necessarily leave it in the traditional sense of saying, hey, listen, guys, I've got something else going on. I'm taking off. You know, I'm going to be gone. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It just was a, it was a fizzle out.
No, 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 no. You're going to candy coat it. I'm going to say it. I got no animosity towards Smoothie, and I got no, I got love for the brother, but fuck him. The way he stepped off, let me tell you something, okay? Let me explain something to you. There's a way to do something, and then there's a fucking way not to do something, okay? There's a way to do something, right, in my opinion, so that you can have, you can continue to have a business relationship with somebody else or a relationship with somebody else, right? And there's a way to do something, which is, in my opinion, a way not to do something, where you're just looking out for yourself and you don't give a fuck. So therefore, it doesn't matter if you have a relationship with that person later on or not, okay? And so the way he left, you know, he was one of the original three, you, him, and myself. He never said to you, hey, you know, this is really not what I, what I thought I was going to get myself into. This is not that. This is this. This is not. That, that, that's not how he did it. He just did not show up anymore. Okay.
Nah.
So, so, so there's a difference. You know what I mean? And for that, that's why I say, fuck that. Fuck Eric. Okay. I'm not going to candy coat. I'm not going to candy coat that shit. That to me,
you, there's a good story. There's a good story behind it. As far as me getting him back to that, but it wasn't so much getting him back. I was just, you know, I was joking around with him, but I saw how fucking serious he, the look on his face was. What had happened was one of the other Smodcast podcasters, Ben Glebe.
Ben Glebe, was, yeah, Ben Glebe.
He was doing a special show at the, oh, man, I can't think of it. It's a little bar, club, nightclub on, I want to say on Hollywood or Sunset Boulevard. It's one of those little spots.
Uh-huh.
And he had it there. And so, you know, a lot of people wanted to, you know, be there for the show because it was his 100th show.
Ben Glebe.
Yeah.
Which is another one of those shows on Smodcast that you used to engineer.
Yes. And in fact, I helped, you know, a few of those shows I helped, I would like to think anyway. Maybe I'm just speculating, but I'm pretty sure I helped secure some awards for a lot of those shows. Hollywood Babylon won, you know, a couple of Stitcher Awards.
Oh, really?
As well as LA, LA Time or LA Weekly.
Best Podcast Award. Of the Week Award or some shit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, you know, I had a little bit under my belt. But anyway, so this thing was at this one of these little spots, dive, you know, bars, legendary little dive bars or whatever. And, you know, a lot of people showed up. There wasn't a lot of room, so you had to show up early if you wanted to get in and be comfortable or whatever. So as I'm setting up to do the recording, I see Eric walking in. I see Smoothie walking in. Now, at that time, like maybe a couple of days before, I'd been online, and I got a notification from Smoothie that he had an, his new show was uploaded. I go, new show? What is it from? So I clicked on it, the link, and checked it out. And he was doing a TV show called On the Spot, I think, where he was like a Johnny on the Spot type.
Yeah. Like a man on the street type thing?
Yeah, man on the street trivia shit, which was great. Then he did another one. I can't remember the name of it because I think I purposely wiped it out of my brain because I was a little upset at first. I watched it, and it was basically the break without the rest of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when I saw him walk into this bar, that's the first thing I thought was, go fucking front this fool on this. What's up with this show? So I went up there, but I said it menacingly as a joke. Because I did it with the, you know, the
thing. Yeah, you were fucking with him.
I'm just kidding. I was fucking with him.
Yeah.
And, but I walk up to him. I go, hey, man, how you doing, man? I saw your new show, man. Check out your new show. It's pretty cool, man. The break without the rest of us, man. And his face, he went pale. Now, he's already white and bald.
Right.
But he went into.
He went into negative white.
Yeah, he was translucent.
Yeah. He went into day glow.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, listen, the guy's a very talented guy. Very talented guy. He has his own YouTube channel, Smooth E. I'm not sure you have to Google him. I give him props, man. I mean, like I said, I got no resentments towards him or anything like that. I got love for Smooth. He did a lot of parodies on a lot of songs and stuff like that. That's really his act as a stand-up comedian. He does parodies and shit.
Well, now I'll give it to you. This is the behind the music fucking reason also behind, additional reason behind him being one of the first co-hosts.
Right.
I'm not a fucking idiot. I know that internet businesses are driven by internet numbers.
Right.
So it was a no-brainer. I looked at his fucking YouTube channel. He's got 100 fucking thousand, 200, 500,000, a million, whatever. Views per video.
Right.
Yeah, he's a co-host.
I get it. No. I get it. Listen. We all, you know, that's called having business sense. There's nothing wrong with that, right? It wasn't like, you know, you stole his shit from YouTube and put it on your thing. You asked him to be involved in it. So, you know, he was a participant in it, you know, and again, look, you don't have to be a part of the show. I mean, that's fine, but there's a way to say it. There's a way to say, you know what, James, I wasn't really thinking. And I can come up with 100 reasons why he would not want to do the show. First of all, we cursed a lot. We cursed a lot. We did this a lot.
What did you say, nigga? What did you say, nigga?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we did a lot of that. You know, we did a lot of that shit. Hold on a second. Let me see if I could do that.
Nigga.
We did a lot of that shit. And so, you know, a lot of times things, people get offended. They're uncomfortable. That's not really the image that they're trying to portray. And that's fine. I got a lot of respect for that, right? So, and I'm a bit of a personality. I could be a little bit much. I get it. I respect that. But at the same time, there's a way, again, I'll say this, there's a way to do things where you'll continue to have a relationship with people, and there's a way to do things where, again, I wouldn't do it this way, where you don't give a fuck about having a relationship with people. I'll give you an example, right? I'm not going to mention any names, but I had a co-host here, and I've had a few co-hosts, but, you know, I'm off the air for a while, and we were going from Skid Row Studios, which was the station where my show started, and that was going to be shut down. And we were moving over, you know, a few blocks down to We Play Radio. We rebranded and we started a collective of like five or six of the more serious shows on the network. Serious meaning shows that were doing it consistently, and they, you know, did it. They took it seriously. So, you know, I've had a couple of the hosts. You know, Simon Kaufman and Rich Corbin were my two initial hosts. Simon went up to Seattle to fucking practice his Judaism and fucking the cult. And Rich Corbin fucking went to Boston to practice his Irishism in the cold and have his fucking both of their balls frozen. So they left. Yeah. So I had a new co-host, and I've had a couple of rotating co-hosts. Anyway, this one co-host, you know, while we were dark, I was traveling, and I was in New York, and I would text the dude. I'd be like, listen, you know, the next show is going to be on this such a day, which is about 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks away. You know, I'll let you know. Anyway, long story short, it wasn't until like 2 days before the day of the show that we were recording, after I fly into New York, into LA from traveling, my man is like, I can't make the show. Okay. Well, I don't understand. I mean, you've had two fucking weeks. And so basically I say, what's the deal, man? You don't want to do the show? Is that what it is? And he says, he says to me, I'm busy. And I'm thinking, you're a fucking dick. You got fucking 2 weeks. Within those 2 fucking weeks, you could have said to me, you could have said something to me. Am I wrong? I mean, do you think I'm a little off here?
No, not at all. I agree.
It's like, you're going to wait 2 fucking days before the first show that I'm going to be recording on the new station to tell me that, you know, you ran out of marijuana and that you're not going to be able to function in life. You know what I mean? That, you know, You're going to be 2 days before that, you're going to... You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. I'm not 20 fucking years old anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't do shit like that. And if you're going to do shit like that, then I don't want to have nothing to do with you, man.
Maybe I made a mistake, you know, choosing you to work with. Because, you know, we can be cool, but obviously we can't do shit on a business level.
No. Not even we can be cool, man, because, you know, if you don't have basic principles, right?
And
if you ain't got basic principles for that, like if you don't got basic common sense principles for business, then you ain't got basic common sense principles for life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So, I only got about maybe 20 more 4th of Julys left, okay? And you ain't invited to the barbecue, bro. That's all. You know what I'm saying? It ain't gonna happen. You ain't gonna get none of the ribs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little fucking crazy, man. It's just.
Well, this is what kind of chapped my mind. I mean, if I can say that, because I'm over it now. I mean, I've got a beautiful wife. I've got a great life now. I mean, I do miss what we were doing there. However, you know, I am still in the process of resurrecting the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, all said and done, and, you know, it wasn't meant to be a fucking 60 minutes that run for fucking 40 years or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know. But it was fun. It was fucking fun.
It was great.
It was great stuff.
And the new version is, you know, it is obviously going to be retooled and a little bit different because, you know, different sensibility. This is, again, Northern California, Sacramento, Cowtown.
Yeah.
Versus,
well,
you know, Hollywood.
Well, check it out, man. If you get your fucking Skype shit in order, if you, like, get at least an antelope instead of the gerbil fucking internet, then you can Skype. And, you know, hey, we could do a show once a month, dude. I mean, I posted on Facebook, and let me see. Hold on a second if I can find the fucking Facebook page. Somebody, I think it was Akdus.
Oh, yeah.
I think Akdus posted... What's Akdus's name? Hold on a second. His real name.
Oh, fuck it.
You forget everybody's fucking name once you leave LA. Right. Yeah.
Right.
We got a couple of minutes, but hold on a second. I want to find out. Because he said, yo, y'all motherfuckers need to stop bullshitting and just redo the breaks again, is what he was saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw it
post. Yeah. Hold on a second. Where is it? Let me see.
Let me tell you.
It was Puck Bass. You guys,
oh, Puck Bass.
Puck
yeah.
Bass. You guys need to all get back together and give us more the breaks. You know, the thing is, we had a good fan following. And by the way, I forgot to say this for the future. You know, when we are live, you can call 1-800-893-9562, except that fucking James's Skype wasn't working, so he's on the line. But normally, you know, we could have had calls. But if you get your Skype shit together, you know, we could, you know, I don't have a problem making, you know, one of the episodes of the breaks on this show. You know what I mean?
I'm down. I'm down for it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I mean, I do 4 shows a month here. You know, we can do one a month or one every 2 months, whatever the fuck. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, that sounds good. We'll work out the details off air. But, yeah, man, that's the whole thing is I wanted it to eventually grow into a kind of a grassroots of a, you know, now I'm sounding like a fucking California hippie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted it to be a network of talented individuals as we are, that have our own things, but are able to come together like the fucking super friends, you know, without Jan and Gleek. I don't know if I like Jan and Gleek.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Where we could all come together and be like a fucking Knights of the fucking funny table, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying, you get your fucking Skype thing together, you run the hell, man. like, you know, like you did, like you did, like you did the old, the, you know, old school way. So, hey, yeah. Before we go, we got, we're almost done here, but I wanted to throw out a little bit of a statistic here. That, for instance, we're fucking around, earlier, black pedestrians face racial bias when trying to cross the street. A new study has concluded. University of Arizona researchers found that when six similarly dressed black and white men tried to cross an intersection, black pedestrians had to wait 32% longer for cars to yield. Now, drivers aren't overtly racist, researchers said, but act on subconscious biases. What the fuck does that mean? Subconscious bias. That means that deep down you're a racist motherfucker.
Motherfucker. But I'm going to tell you why. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why that is.
Tell me.
How long does it take you to walk across the street, fucking crosswalk?
There you go.
Seriously.
I get it. A white guy normally walks fast because he doesn't want to get hit by a car.
And, you know, there's a lot of fitness. There's a, you know, a biology to it.
Yep.
White guys don't have as much booty meat.
Yeah. But also the black and the Latino is like, yeah, fuck that shit. I waited fucking 2 weeks for my welfare check. Fuck that shit. Yeah. You wait for me to cross the street, knuckle. Yeah.
Walking across the street with swagger, holding my balls.
Yeah. Taking their time. I didn't think of it that way. The researchers didn't take into account all of that. But listen, you know, we got into this whole breaks and all this other stuff. What the fuck have you been doing up there all this time? I know you were engineering on one of the comedy clubs and now you just said that you the other day you told me you were DJing and stuff. You can back to DJing.
Back to spinning plates, man. Up here, as I said, the industry is sorely lacking as far as in entertainment industry.
Right.
So I figured let me go back to something that I love doing, that uh-huh. I've always loved doing, that kind of was the gateway drug, if you would, to what I do, you know, what I've done in LA and as far as podcasting and all that. And let's get back to the music and do it right, you know, live and direct, right in front of people. And it's been working out pretty well for me, really well. So
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. So, when are you guys planning on coming back? I mean, like at least for a visit. Do you have any specific idea?
We're looking at probably this summer.
Okay. All right. Well, so, cool.
In fact, I'm not even fuck probably. That's wishy-washy.
Okay.
This summer, I will be there to see you, my friend.
Perfect. So then we'll have you live in the studio. And then you can check out the digs, and we'll just do a live breaks show from fucking We Play Radio Studios in beautiful, gloomy, depressing, shitty, gritty downtown Los Angeles.
Downtown LA.
Where
you know what's gonna be funny is you guys are gonna turn on the cameras, and I'm still gonna look fucked up like I did when I turned on my camera here. So.
Dude, that was priceless. Hey, by the way, Jeremy's been putting up the picture of you and Craig Ferguson. Tell me how that was like. How was that?
Oh, Craig Robinson.
I said Craig Ferguson. Craig Robinson.
That's all good. I was going to say, I hung out with that fucking guy. Craig Robinson.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
Fucking sweetheart.
Yeah, no airs. Very, very down to earth, easy going, no problem.
Yeah, and the way we met and the way we introduced, you know, our working partnership was introduced was years ago when I was working at the Improv in Ontario, California. We had, rest in peace, John Panette was our headliner, and unfortunately at that time, I guess I could say it now because he's not around to sue me, he had fell off the wagon, and he basically told me literally, fuck the money. I don't give a fuck about the money. He's drunk, slurring though. Fuck the money. I just cancel the shows. I'm done. And we had a fucking house full of people. I was at the hotel to pick him up for the show. So now I have 45 minutes to figure out how are we not going to get fucking murdered in Ontario? Because these people, it was a sold out show. Paul Craig Robinson, he came. This was before the office and all that shit. He comes flying out there, with his keyboard because he literally said, thank you, because I didn't have rent this month, and this is going to put me over, you know, push me over the top. And that's a real, you know, that's a real story.
Wow.
About real people.
Wow.
And
wow.
How things can change.
That's big. That's big. That's just a big up, Craig Robinson. Big up. Big up. Plop, plop, plop. Yeah, yeah. Hey, we can attribute the fucking the air horn and the big up to Smoothie. So that's what I'm saying. I got no disrespect to Smooth. I got no resentment. But y'all, you fucked up when you did what you did. You know how you did it. You know what I'm saying?
And let me give just a real quick, because I know you guys are short on time. Let me just give the follow up to that. What it was that his reasoning was, you know, one of his main reasons was, like you said earlier, that, you know, he preferred not to be as blue.
No, I get it. I get it.
We were.
I get it.
However, after he had disappeared, I went onto his YouTube channel because he had uploaded a new video, and I was getting the notification, so I checked
it
out.
Right.
And it was a Justin Bieber parody, and the whole song was fuck you, fucking fuckity fuck. I mean,
yeah. It doesn't, listen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's called common courtesy. All you had to do is say, you know what? I thought I was going to be into this. I'm not into it. No disrespect. Thank you for thinking of me. That's it. But yeah, you know what it is?
Sugar
no, you know what it is? A lot of people don't know how to do that. And as a result, they wind up hurting themselves as a result of fucking up good relationships. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've seen him before. You know, Smooth is cool. I love Smooth. He's a very talented dude. And like I said, it's all good. I was just fucking around. Anyway, listen, dude, we got to step off. You want to hit us up with your Twitter page, your Facebook page? And, you know, I mean, most of the people that are listening and who will listen, because after I promote it, the original The Breaks Smodcasters, because they're still out there. They're alive.
Yeah.
So your Twitter is what? At Jam Master?
At DJAMMASTR, at DJAM Master.
So there's two M's or one M in between Jam and Master?
Two
M's, that's what it is. At DJAMMASTER.
Yes.
There it is. And mine is at Nestorius NYC, thanks to you, because you fucking started my Twitter account. And I think I do one tweet. I do one tweet every fucking 6 months and shit.
Right.
And then I have like all...
You guys don't know. You listeners have no idea how fucking salty Nestor was at first. You were like, what the fuck, man? You were fucking...
I still am. I still am with the Twitter. I still am. I'm not, I haven't progressed much. Right, last week's episode was about...
You should see what I put on fucking Tinder for you.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, last week's episode was about... my episode was about social media. So, you know, it's about understanding and all this. I still don't get it. But, and James, you're on Facebook also. You're Jam Master.
I'm James Franco Jr.
James Franco.
No pretenses.
Facebook.com, James Franco Jr. Anyway, that's our show. Check us, Nestorius Public Radio, out on iTunes. Come to the WePlayRadio.com site. Check out the other shows. There's some pretty interesting shows. We got some music, some comedy, some talk shows, and all crazy, just crazy thinking. Nothing neutral here. And like our Facebook page, Nestorius Public Radio. Hit me up on Twitter, Nestorius at Nestorius NYC. And James, really good talking to you. Love you, man. You're my brother. And we'll catch you soon. Say hi to Marilyn, all right?
I certainly will. And please say hi to Rosemary for me.
I will.
And everybody out there that you see that we work with. I love you guys. I miss you guys. We'll be back out there soon.
All right. Peace, man. Thank you.
Me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta...